You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Living a Supernatural Life.
Isaiah 30, God says to his people, woe is always a warning. He says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. You listen to what everybody else tell you to do, except what I tell you to do. Remember what Psalm 1 says, blessed man walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You take counsel, but not of me. Girl, if I was you, I'd just run on down there and such and such. Girl, if I was you, I would do such and such. Man, if I was you, this is how I would do that. Beat her. You remember Color Purple? He said, beat her. He walked in the counsel of the ungodly. Then he came back, he got kicked by a mule. To take counsel, but not a... And they cover with a covering. That's talking about protection. We look for everything and everybody else to protect us but God. But not of my spirit. That they may add sin to sin. You obeyed me, you disobeyed me here. Now you listen to the counsel. You disobeyed me here. And you're adding sin to sin. Verse 2. That walk to go down into Egypt. And Egypt, of course, then was a literal place. But Egypt refers to the world's way of doing things. I said, woe to you who always look to the world's way of doing things rather than trusting that I'm a supernatural God. They go down to Egypt and they have not asked at my mouth. You go to everybody else but me. And watch this. And then you fall out with people and get mad because they didn't come through for you. All I done for them, and the time that I need $100, they tell me they don't have it. Maybe they really don't have it. Or maybe God wants you to trust him. You done fell out with people, falling out with people, ain't talking. I ain't gonna forget this. Mm-hmm. Let them ask me for something again. And God said, I'm trying to teach you to trust me. Verse 3, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh, the world system, be to your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion. Now what you going to do? You done made all these agreements with all these people and forgot who you said you're going to pay when. Going over to Isaiah 31, the next chapter. Woe, what does woe mean? Warning. Isaiah 31. Woe to them that go down to Egypt, that's the world system, for help. They stay on horses. The reason why they would make covenants and agreements and alliances with Egypt, because Egypt at that time was the nation that was known to have horses. And horses was like the nuclear power of the day. So you wanted to become an ally with a nation that had horses. And so because Egypt had horses, they would go kissing up to Egypt. Go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not to the Holy One of Israel. God said, you're trusting in everybody but me, and I can't do the supernatural in your life. Neither seek the Lord. Verse 2, yet he also is wise, and he will bring evil and will not call back his word, but will arise against the house of the evildoers. And against the help of them that work iniquity. God said, now don't you get this twisted. When you go to other people, verse 3 says, now the Egyptians are men, not God. You look at everybody else, they're men, not God. And their horses are flesh, not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helps shall fall, and he that is hoping or helped shall fall down, and they shall fail together. God said, everything else is going down except my word. Nothing else are you going to be able to trust. Come on, I believe God bring us to a place. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord. Can I tell you something? If you're going to do anything great for God, and if God's going to do anything great for you, God will put you in positions that you can got to trust him. that there's nobody else who can get you out of this but God. The money you need, you don't even dare to ask or mention it to somebody else. You know they're going to laugh you to scorn. But you know that God can do it, you know. God said, I need you to trust me for the supernatural. Living a supernatural life, it means seeing, believing, receiving, and doing the supernatural. So in the time I have remaining today, how do you activate the supernatural in your life? Let's talk a little bit more about this. Number one, you got to believe for the supernatural. Somebody say, I believe for the supernatural. Now, how many of y'all know? Come on, now, and I'm not despising anything or despising anybody or despising what the Lord has done in our life, because I'm one of the ones, okay? But having a bad credit report and not being able to get a house, and now through time and effort and work and paying your bills, now you get a nice credit report and you're able to buy a house. How many of y'all know it really ain't nothing supernatural about that? Oh, come on now. Come on. Stay with me here. I did it. Amen. Ain't nothing supernatural about that. Devil worshipers can have good credit. Come on, y'all. Come on. Say it with me here. Come on. Ain't nothing supernatural about getting a job just because you got the degree. Sinners can do that. So what I'm trying to get us to see, we have been limiting the supernatural to natural stuff. That's what I want you to see. And it was supernatural for us because we were so far away from that. But if it's something that man in the natural state could do, it's really not supernatural. Oh, come on now. It got to the place. Oh, man. Oh, this is good here. Pharaoh initially was not impressed by Moses' staff. Y'all remember that? Moses put the staff down and turned to a snake. He said, oh, we can do that. So he got his magician to put their staff down and become a snake. So unless we get to a place that our snake eats up their snake, ain't nothing supernatural happening yet. God wants to do something that everybody got to say, oh, no, I can't do that. No. God had to do that. So when we hear about stuff like somebody giving somebody a house without credit, now you say, oh, man, now that's supernatural. Come on now. When you were broke one day and some kind of way the money shows up in the account next day and you go write the check and you debt free and you can't even explain where the money came from other than to say the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, and this is what must be called a wealth transfer. Nothing supernatural is happening. I'm trying to raise our expectation up above the natural. See, because when stuff happens above the natural, it happens at a speed that man can't explain. It happens at a pace that man could not explain. Are you hearing me? When they got healed of leprosy, as they went, they just started walking, and my God, and now their flesh started changing, and they realized, oh, God's worked a miracle. God's going to start speeding up the pace of your blessings. Stuff that would take 30 years going to happen in a year. Stuff that would happen in years is going to happen in months. Stuff that would happen in months going to happen in weeks. Stuff that would happen in weeks going to happen in days. Stuff that would happen in days going to happen in hours, because God is working the supernatural in your life. Somebody give God some praise. That things are speeding up. You want Godspeed, Godspeed, Godspeed. Say it with me. Say, expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. So there has to be an expectation. Even while I'm preaching right now, what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to raise your expectation. I'm trying to raise your expectation. I don't know what you're going through in your life. I don't know what you're going through in your marriage. I don't know what you're going through in your children. I don't know what you don't have the resources for. I don't know what the doctors have said. I don't know what the finances have said. All I know is that God is a supernatural God who wants to show himself strong on behalf of somebody whose heart is perfect towards him, that he wants to do things that nobody can get the glory, the credit, the honor but him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My mother-in-law, who transitioned with the Lord, she came to see us years ago. By the time she came to see us, we were living in a fabulous house. That house she knew before was a very average house that we were renting. So she came back to see us. And we were living in this fabulous house. And she said to Marsha at first, she said, Marsha, how? How? Then she said, never mind, I know God. That's what God wanted to happen in your life. People say, now how? How? Never mind, God. It don't say, God had to, I see where y'all were. And in the, oh, come on now. And in the time you were there, that's what God did in our life. He redeemed the years that were destroyed by the locust, by the palm of worm, and he made it look like it never happened. I'm talking about some supernatural stuff in your life, that your life has no remnants of the curse. That your life has no remnants of what you've been through. Somebody say, God, never mind. You know, just trying to explain it. This is God. I see where you were. That's why I got to be above average. Say that. Say, God's going to bless me. Above average. Glory to God. Come on now. Whoever's the average around you, look at that as the floor about how God's going to bless you. Because he wants to do exceeding abundantly above. If the average is the average, then God wants you to be above average, the head and not the tail. Look, somebody say, I ain't supposed to be like anybody else. Woo. You better get that revelation. I ain't supposed to be like everybody else. I ain't supposed to act like everybody else. I ain't supposed to look like it. I'm a king's kid. I am royalty. God is my father. You better receive that. Stop letting folks make you feel ashamed that you're blessed. I'm supposed to be blessed. You act like, yes, I act like who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm blood washed. You a couple more minutes, sit down here. Psalm 62, 5 and 6. I'm telling you how you set yourself up for the supernatural. David says this, Psalm 62 and verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God. There we go. Wait only upon God. Not my credit card. Not the payday loan. Not a new job. Now, if God want to use a new job to bless me, but that ain't what I'm waiting on. Not for my credit to get better. And you ought to do that, because a good name be desired above riches. But he said, my soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. The question, who's your expectation from? Again, we get mad at people because we had wrong expectations. There was a time, really, I had to work it through. had to work it through, but I was really offended. They was eating at me. It was just messing me up. And the Lord said, change your expectation. You don't get offended with people if you have no expectations of them. Sometimes we got our expectations on people too much. But I thought, okay, Naaman almost didn't experience a supernatural healing. Because when he came at the advice of one of his servants, he came down to Israel and he went to see the man of God regarding his leprosy. The man of God didn't even come out and see him. He said, just go tell him to dip in the Jordan 7 times. And Naaman said, what? Does he know who I am? I expected him to come out and see me. I expected him to wave his hand around the place and say, Shundai. Does he know who I am? He had wrong expectations. So the servant said, Master, if the man of God told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you do that? If he told you you got to go win a battle and kill 1,000 men, wouldn't you do that? He said, the man just asked you to do a simple thing. Just go dip in the Jordan 7 times. And he went and dipped in the Jordan 7 times and he got a supernatural healing. But he almost lost out on the supernatural because his expectation is that the man was going to do something. And God said, stop looking for man to do something when I want to do something. Man, I'm preaching to somebody here today. My expectation is from him. Glory to God. You know, as a pastor, I got to keep my perspective right on this. You know, some of y'all, I know your occupations. I don't know exactly what you make, but I know what people in your field make. You a principal. You a teacher. You a car salesman. You a whatever. I kind of got a range. Well, you would think with all that money they make, they all are gifts. No, no. I can't be counting your money. Come on now. You would think all I've done, they ought to. No, 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 no. God said, stop putting your expectation on people. My expectations of him. So God, we need $1 million to do this. I don't care. I don't know who you're going to give it to you. It just might be by a dog walking by with a bag in his mouth. And I ain't going to ask no question. Dog, where you get the money from? That's all right. I don't care where it came from. I just know where it's going. Get your expectation off people. Stop falling out with people because they didn't do this or do that. Stop expecting people to do what only God wants to do in your life. So you can keep relationships and not fall out with people. I thought. Can I tell you something? People are people. This church would be perfect if it wasn't for these people. Look at your neighbor and say, you one of these people. I'm one of these people too. The church would be perfect if it wasn't for these people. And people, you can't live with them and you can't kill them legally. So we get all upset because people didn't do this and people didn't do that, including the pastor. How many folks, and you know, and I made up my mind, and the people do it, and even though I teach y'all it, some of y'all are still going to do it. I told y'all years ago, I never left a church offended. And I would never leave a church offended. If I got offended, I got to work it out. If I leave, God told me to leave. Amen. It ain't because I'm mad. I told y'all years ago, Bishop Bailey, they had a musician, and she really couldn't play, but she was trying to play. And so she had been up trying to play, and Bishop Bailey got up and told the church, while the woman sitting at the organ, he said, y'all church, we believe in God for a musician. And we believe in God that someone can come who can be blessed and anointed to help us carry the service. The band, I mean, the organ's in the front of the church. The woman got up, slammed the organ, walked all the way to the back of the church. They said before she walked out, she said, "You don't want me? Then I don't want you." I made up my mind. I'm not going to leave someplace offended. If God wants me to leave, he tells me to leave. Come on, I'm helping somebody here. If God want a church started, he don't have to get you mad with your pastor to start a church. See, sometimes people wonder why the stuff isn't working, because the impetus of it, the foundation of it, how it originated was never God to begin with. I don't do anything out of offense. Remember when Moses was up in the mountain waiting for the commandments, and somebody said, "Moses dead. Let's build ourselves another God." Somebody else said, "Well, let's go on back to Egypt." How many of y'all know they would have died if they went back to Egypt? You can't do something out of your own mind. Your expectation got to stay on him. Psalm 62 and 6 says, "He only is my rock. He only is my rock. Everybody else is my resource, but God only is my rock. He's my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be moved." Glory to God. People will come. People will go. People going to do this. People going to say that. People going to appoint. People going to disappoint. People going to tell the truth. People going to lie. People going to say they're going to do what they're going to do, and then they won't do what they said they're going to do. But he only is my rock, my salvation. He's my defense, and I'm not going to be moved. I trust him for the supernatural. Just about done here, but Psalm 23:18 says, "For surely there's an end." I'm here to encourage somebody today. Keep your expectation that whatever negative situation you're in right now, whatever negative circumstance you're going through, surely there is an end. Surely there is an end. Somebody say, "Surely there's an end." The Lord says, "And my expectation shall not be cut off." There's going to be an end, and I'm expecting God to end this thing. Glory to God. My broke days are coming to an end. My sick days are coming to an end. My despair days are coming to an end. My depression days are coming to an end. My drama days are coming. Surely there is an end. What do people do who don't believe there's an end? Can I tell you what people do who don't believe there's an end? They commit suicide. Because they don't think this thing gonna change. When Pastor Marshall and I, some of you heard me tell it many times, "Oh, we got new faces." In the early days of our marriage, and I was going through in Maine and broke and trying to keep things above water, and these children kept coming. I don't know why, how that happened. She kept having babies. We're laying up one night in our bed with the lights turned off. I didn't say turn down low. I said turn off. And the reason why they were turned off is not because I turned them off before I went to bed. They turned off because the power company was mad at me. Some of y'all get that later. Okay, let me just tell the truth. I didn't pay the bill. So why they be mad at you? Because you don't pay the bill. And I'll never forget this. That's why I often come back to my mind. I remember laying there holding them with no utilities in Maine, including our heat in Maine. No heat. That's how those babies came. I'm just trying to be warm. Just trying to stay warm. I'm trying to make it big, just trying to be warm. And I remember holding her and saying, "Baby, it won't be this way always." Glory to, know what I was saying? Surely there's an end. Glory to God. We ain't going to be broke always. There's going to come a day we're going to have all our utilities paid at the same time without negotiating. Oh, some of y'all, you better learn to negotiate. I was on a first name basis with the people down at the power company. "Hey, girl, yeah, this Herb. How you doing? Girl, you have that baby yet? Listen, Herb, Miss Betty, you need to work out a payment plan. How you know?" "Yeah, I'm going to give you 25 this week, and I'll try to have the rest to you next week. Call in, keep the electric on. 2 days later, call and try to keep the water on." Some of y'all don't know nothing about struggle. "But I believe it ain't going to be this way always. I believe there's going to come a day all my utilities be on at the same time. without negotiation. I remember hearing Dr. Fred Price preach years ago. He said, I hate bills. Left to me, I would have no bills. He said, so I pay for everything cash. He said, the only bills I have is my utilities. And if I could pay those in advance, I would. So now, watch this. So now, I was nowhere close to that. But I believe God, there's going to come a day. And the best thing that could happen is called automatic bill pay. And now as soon as my bill comes, I put it on automatic bill pay. And whether I'm here or not, everything is paid. Now, I understand you got to have the flow and the money to do that. But I believe that day was coming. I'm prophesying to somebody here and telling you that your broke days will come to an end. Your struggle days will come to an end.
Are you living your best life? You can live above the natural and expect the supernatural. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that God can do extraordinary things in your life and cause you to live supernaturally. Order this powerful message today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Living a Supernatural Life.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.